Welcome to the City's Backyard with Matt the Z-Man Zacho, a podcast that interviews all walks of life from their own backyard. The City's Backyard starts now.
We are checking in live from Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar. It is a food episode this time around, a food-themed episode. We've got a few restaurants featured on this show. Bistro for one, because we're live to Memorex right now on the Post Road, Westport Avenue, right next to Stu Leonard's. And we're going to check in with Taylor Matsky, who's our first guest. We'll go to the studio and talk to her. She works at Millstone Farm in Wilton, Connecticut. We'll hear all about farm fresh vegetables and the local farmers markets. And then we're going to hear from Brian Malcarney, a restaurateur from Norwalk, who runs two restaurants, Rory's in Darien and the all-new Wall Street Tavern in Norwalk. So, I mean, yeah, he opened up a restaurant during a pandemic, so we're going to have to check in with him and see how that is going. Also, earlier in the week, we were live out on the Post Road, only Connecticut Avenue instead of Westport Avenue. We were checking in from the Balmar Lanes parking lot, and Peaches was a restaurant that was in Norwalk. They're down in Manhattan now, but because of the situation with indoor dining being closed down for the next couple of weeks, or a few weeks or more, who knows? But Greer from Peaches, Greer Peaches, who owns Peaches, is selling food to go now on Fridays. So we're going to do a little mini segment from the parking lot there at the bowling alley where she's, you know, going to be doing mobile to go food on Fridays. That is all on the way right after this.
The Wall Street Tavern in Norwalk is now open with their cool rock and roll decor. Check out their great menu, a delightful offering of appetizers, soups, salads, sandwiches, wood-fired pizzas, and delicious entrees and desserts. From the wood-roasted all-natural half-chicken to the grilled dry-aged New York strip. For more info, log on to WallStreetTAVfortavern.com. That's WallStreetTAV.com. 102 Wall Street, Norwalk.
Stay fit, stay strong, stay healthy with Nikki Fit. Nikki Fit offers fitness classes and more all online from the safety of your own home. Log on to stayfitwithnikkifit.com to learn more. Spell Nikki Fit with two K's. Enter code Stay Strong for 15% off your first service at stayfitwithnikkifit.com.
Listening to the City's Backyard podcast is safe. Be safe. Listen in your own backyard. To the City's Backyard.
You are in the backyard. We are talking about food on this episode, and everybody loves food, but being healthy is also a challenge sometimes. And Taylor Matsky is one of our guests. She's our first guest on the food episode. She's a local regenerative farmer growing in Wilton, Connecticut. She's passionate about native landscapes, as well as helping to preserve heirloom seeds and heritage breed animals. Now, when we say heirloom, did I say that right, Taylor?
You sure did.
So I think of heirloom yellow tomatoes. Is there such a thing? What does the word heirloom even mean?
Heirloom is a type of seed that has been saved throughout different generations. So it's not hybridized. It's not bred to hold certain qualities that help prevent against pests or fungus, things like that. So it's a really unfiltered type of seed production.
So when we talk about an heirloom tomato, are there yellow regular tomatoes versus heirloom yellow tomatoes?
Yeah, so heirloom tomatoes, for example, come in all different colors, shapes, sizes, and each variety has a story. For example, one type I grew this year was Cherokee Purple, a seed that's been saved from the native tribe, the Cherokee tribe, and has been passed down through generations. So definitely yellow, definitely red, all funky shapes, and yeah.
Define regenerative agriculture. It's a hard word to say, but what does it exactly mean?
So regenerative agriculture is an approach with the purpose of conservation and rehabilitation to the land. So focusing on topsoil regeneration, focusing on biodiversity, increasing resilience, crop resilience, and land resilience, enhancing the ecosystem that the farm exists within, and using practices that recycle as much waste as possible, using practices that involve animals and compost. So you're not just bringing in nutrients, you're actually developing them on the land yourself.
You're in Sono, but you work at the Millstone Farm, and that's in Wilton.
Yep, exactly.
And are you in the backyard of Sono right now or Wilton, Connecticut?
I'm here in Wilton. I'm at the farm.
And how long has this farm been around?
So the farm is really old. It used to be a dairy farm years ago. And about 10 years ago, it became a vegetable production farm.
So who do you supply? Like what restaurants?
Yeah, so we have a CSA program, which is community supported agriculture, where families will put a deposit in for the season and then each week pick up vegetables. So that's a great source of income. We also supply our local markets, so Village Market in Wilton, of course, also Harbor Harvest Market in South Norwalk. And we started supplying this year Gray Barns Tavern, a fantastic restaurant in the Silver Mine area. So great chef and a little bit of everything. We
Beautiful.
Also do the Rowayton Farmers Market on Fridays in the summer.
Excellent. Well, you know, this episode is all about food, like I mentioned, and we're going to have a restaurant tour on next. And if we can get the word out to the local restaurants that you can supply them with these great vegetables, it would be great to connect you with more restaurants, right? I'm sure they're looking to get fresh farm veggies for their meals.
Yeah, definitely. We're always looking for new clients and new restaurants to work with and help spread the local farm movement, farm to table.
Now, speaking of that, farm to table, tell me about this Harbor Harvest hybrid electric waterway navigation thing that's going on.
Yeah, so we work with Harbor Harvest. It's a market. They have a market in South Norwalk as well as Huntington, Long Island. And they are in the midst of a project of transportation. They have one hybrid electric boat. It's a catamaran. And their mission is to take transportation away from the roads and the highways and away from big trucks and move to use the waterways, which are like a totally untapped and accessible transportation route, as well as offsetting fossil fuels. So it's a hybrid boat. It would be taking trucks off the roads. It's a really cool project. They want to have markets at different ports and kind of be a nationwide system where we're connecting farms to different areas via boat rather than via trucks in an already like congested, you know, traffic situation that we face in America. Tapping into that waterway transportation, which is like a really old method of transporting goods, and just trying to open that up.
Now, would this connect, say, the vegetables would come out of Millstone Farm? What would they do? Get on this Harbor Harvest hybrid electric vehicle, and that would go down to, say, the Stanford Harbor and deliver veggies?
Yeah, that's an example. We are looking for restaurants on the other end of things as well. So connecting right to a restaurant who would, you know, come meet us at the harbor and pick up, or this is something that could even, you know, be taken into New York City. Obviously, Millstone wouldn't have enough vegetables to provide that, but the idea is to get all of the farmers into a system of working together and having like a seamless kind of transportation system. So they have a cooling van as well that they've been coming in picking up vegetables from us, and they want to, you know, connect other farms into that and kind of have like a, you know, a little network of getting goods from farmers and then taking that to different harbors. So Stanford, exactly. Greenwich, Long Island, New York City, and just bringing fresh produce into places that wouldn't necessarily have that, like Stanford, for example. There's no real agriculture happening there.
Well, keeping the trucks off the road.
Keeping the trucks off the road is huge. And like I said, the fossil fuel offset is another really important mission.
I heard that they're trying to make the Norden Park a trucking center for truckers, and there's a petition going around. You might want to get involved with that and spread the word that, you know, the local residents aren't really crazy about that idea with all the pollution and the traffic. And not only trucks, they're talking about over 300 cars that would be over there. So it's just going to create a lot more pollution, a lot more traffic, and it's exactly what we don't need. So the fact that you're involved with connecting people through the Harbor Harvest is a great idea, and the timing is perfect for you to get the word out. So thanks for getting the word out on the City's Backyard podcast. Let's talk a little bit about the farm and some of the vegetables that you know, you're harvesting right now.
Yeah, so right now, believe it or not, even in 20 degree weather, we're still pumping out vegetables. So we have two heated greenhouses. So we have lots of different lettuces and chicories and cabbage, kale, collard, spinach, tons of different Asian greens, mustards. And, you know, out in the field, we still have some crops out. Our spinach is outside. The kale and the collards can last through the winter and be harvested in the spring. We have carrots in the ground still, beets, turnips, certain herbs like parsley will stay in the ground. Cilantro is a really cool, loving herb. So yeah, it's a lot of greens right now. Of course, we still have some storage crops or squashes, potatoes, onions, things like that, leeks. So yeah, we're still going strong.
Do you ever get food over to the Westport Farmers Market?
I don't. So the Westport Farmers Market is really big and an amazing market. Highly recommend your listeners to check it out. It's an amazing market. But we found our little niche at the Rowayton Farmers Market. The owners of the farm live in Rowayton and they really want to connect to their community there. So another great market, highly recommend. It's right in Pinckney Park on the water. It's beautiful in the summer.
This is so cool to have you as a guest. I mean, there's a whole world out there that we're kind of just, you know, we're not aware of. And when you go to, say, some of the big grocery stores, the lettuce that's bagged and you know, packaged, what's the difference between, I mean, yours is organic, but what if they say it's organic? I mean, what's the difference? It's like the difference between a chicken egg that's grown, you know, right, in somebody's backyard coop versus, you know, at the, where they, you know, mistreat the chickens, right?
Right. Yeah. So there's a word out there called greenwashing, which is essentially taking labels like organic and free range and manipulating the consumer into this idea, this romanticizing of what they're eating, when in reality, these are just marketing words. And so, for example, I don't use the word organic anymore. I am a no spray farmer. Even on organic farms, they're spraying pesticides. They're just organic pesticides. And so, and with chickens, for example, free range chickens sometimes have, that means they have like 1 hour out in a really tight, you know, area that doesn't even have grass. So
yeah, cage. They cage them in like, you know, a foot of space. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah. So the difference is so obvious when you eat our lettuce. Our lettuce is our cash crop. It's what we're famous for. Our lettuce will last 2 to 3 weeks in the bag because we cut it the day of, and it's just so fresh and grown so well that it lasts. And if you ever get lettuce from the store, it's coming from California. And so you have to think about, like we were saying before, the transportation. The transportation of these goods takes off so much of the shelf life already. And just because something is labeled organic, it doesn't mean that it wasn't grown without pesticides. It doesn't mean that it's not detrimental to the planet, because it's still a monoculture. It's still not regenerative. It's still, you know, eroding the soil, and there's still killing bugs in the process. So,
yeah, it sounds like we need to get Millstone Farm out there in the community. So, you know, people, can they go right to the farm and buy the lettuce?
So our farm is private. We, due to zoning, we're not able to have a farm market. But there's lots of farms in the area that you can visit. And it's amazing how many farms there are, especially in Fairfield County. It's surprisingly like agrarian. And it just takes, you know, the initial step of like going and just inquiring, like, is there a farm near me? Can I go to it? You know what I mean? And just familiarizing yourself with who's growing around you. And once you do that, it connects you to a community of really cool people who are, you know, following the same mission and really trying to help each other and help the community and be local. And it's a beautiful thing.
You said all the perfect words. You know, we're talking about the City's Backyard podcast. We're talking about community, connecting. And that leads me to my next question. If people want to connect, you know, restaurants primarily, if they want to connect with Millstone Farm, you have a website. How do they get in touch with you guys to start getting your farm fresh veggies?
So I do a lot of Instagram marketing, I would say. That's how the chef we're working with now reached out. And a lot of people will use Instagram and reach out and be like, that looks amazing. How do I get it? And also, you know, checking out our website, millstonefarm.org, we have a newsletter and a mailing list, and we send out weekly updates as well as our online farm store there. You can order our goods, like tomato sauce, maple syrup, and any meats that we have available, and come pick them up at the farm. So there definitely is the ability to come to the farm and, you know, pick things up. So yeah, just checking the website out and seeing what we have available. But, you know, there's not really a great way to get the word out there as a farmer. So I think it's something that would be really cool to have, like, a collaborative networking of, you know, more localized grocery service, you know?
Yeah, because you're relying on the farmers markets, which a lot of them are just seasonal in the summer, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so you were saying you can't really come to the farm, but if you go on the website and you sort of pre-order, then you can just pick up the stuff. You just can't go there without going to the web first.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's cool. And like you said, you're using Instagram, which seems to be getting more and more popular compared to Facebook. But is Millstone Farm on Facebook or just Instagram?
It is on Facebook, yes. And I do usually like joint share things. So everything that's on Instagram usually goes on the page as well.
So on Facebook, how do they find you? And on Instagram, how do they find you?
So Facebook, Millstone Farm, and on Instagram, Millstone Farm CT.
Beautiful. Well, I think everything you're doing is really cool, and I'm glad we can help get the word out about Millstone Farm, about Harbor Harvest, the hybrid electric waterway, which is a really cool idea to get those veggies to the harbors and not put more trucks on the road, which they are trying to do in Norwalk, and you are trying to do it a different way, and it's just better for the environment. So thanks so much for coming on the show. Taylor Matzke out of Sono, Connecticut. This has been great. We appreciate you giving all that great information on staying healthy. Before I let you go, I just want to let you know that my experience with just eating a turkey sandwich without really good lettuce or tomato, it just isn't the same. And I love tomatoes, and I just feel so much better when I have, you know, lettuce and vegetables, you know, in my meal plan, you could say.
Absolutely. Matt, sounds like we're going to have to get you over to the farm and try some of our lettuce.
Sounds like a great idea. All right. Well, again, Taylor, thanks for coming on the show. Millstonefarm.org is the website. Millstonefarm.org.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. We are going to take a break. We'll be back with our next guest right after this as we continue our food episode on the City's Backyard podcast. We'll be right
back. Thanks, Matt.
The Redding Beer Company is open and always releasing new seasonal craft beers. Enjoy the Bohemian Amber coming in early 2021. To see their wide selection of tasty craft beers, log on to reddingbeer.com. Enjoy Redding Beer this holiday season at the following locations: Rory's, Wall Street Tavern, Sedona Tap House, Amice Trattoria, The Spinning Wheel, and Ancona's Wines and Spirits. Go to reddingbeer.com to order online or for weekend pandemic hours. The Redding Beer Company, 7 Main Street, Redding, Connecticut.
Planning a trip to visit family? Leaving your home increases your chances of getting and spreading COVID-19. Some state or local governments are issuing orders and guidance such as stay at home or shelter in place. If you must travel, follow the state or local guidance where you are, along your route, and at your destination. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Hey everybody, Kevin O'Connor from This Old House, and I just wanted to wish happy holidays to Matt Zacho and all of his listeners on the city's backyard. Take care.
We are in the backyard with our next guest, Brian Melcarney, a restaurateur from the Fairfield County area. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Matt. I like the new name. Very classy.
You like the city's backyard, huh?
I do. It's very relevant, too. Most of us are hanging in our backyards these days instead of going out, so.
Exactly. And, you know, you've been on the show a couple times now, so it's great to have you back. And our guest that we had on originally was all about farm fresh foods. And you own Rory's in Darien, and now you also opened up a new restaurant called Wall Street Tavern right across from the Wall Street Theater in Norwalk. And you opened that up during a pandemic. So we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But back to the farm fresh food, you know, when I had you on the episodes before, you always talked about how you guys cook it fresh to go when you're doing takeout or even dining in. It's all made fresh. So I wanted to touch on the topic of fresh, farm fresh vegetables and how Rory's is involved in making fresh food.
We do farm fresh a lot. Actually, I hit the farmer's market in Norwalk on Saturdays, right by St. Paul's on the Green. And frequently I go to the Darien farmer's market on Wednesdays. And it's a great way to come up with some ideas for specials. You see beautiful fresh fruit and vegetables. I make great pies in the summer. We make beautiful tomato mozzarella with heirloom tomatoes. So it's a great way to improve your product and keep the customers happy, and also work that full chain of keeping the farmers in Connecticut going and helping the local economy too.
Yeah, and it's amazing how many people just buy vegetables from California. They're shipped in, and what I learned in the segment before you is that takes time to transport the vegetables from the West Coast to the East Coast. So you're losing the freshness by, the transportation. And so this keeps it local and keeps it even fresher. Now, is it more expensive to buy farm fresh veggies in the area than it would be to say, go to the regular grocery store?
Yes, the vegetables usually at the farmer's market are just a little more expensive, but the quality's there. So what you're paying for is better quality. If you ever have a tomato from the grocery store, they always are kind of flavorless. Whereas you get one of those from the farmer's market, it's always got that great, robust flavor that you can, put a little salt, a little olive oil on it and eat it right off a plate.
Yeah, I love those big yellow tomatoes you can get in the summer at the farmer's market. And they're just delicious. So, and speaking of delicious, Rory's has delicious food. You guys have done such a great job dealing with this pandemic with your outdoor patio that you created in your parking lot, like a lot of people have had to do. And how has that been, the outdoor dining?
The outdoor dining's been great. We've been real successful also with putting some different musicians outside and keeping them going and making it a real event for people. They come, they have lunch, they listen to some music, they forget about the crappy pandemic, and it's a win for everyone.
Yeah, it really is cool. You're one of the few places that actually has hired musicians during this pandemic. And, I know all the musicians really appreciate Rory's stepping up in more than one way, stepping up with the food, stepping up with the patio, stepping up with supporting the musicians, and just stepping up with supporting the community. And so congratulations on that. You've done a great job. Rory's has an unbelievable reputation. Anytime I've been there and posted pictures on social media, everyone is just so supportive of your restaurant because they know that you work your butt off and they know the food is going to be fresh and delicious.
Well, we work hard at it. So, I'm here pretty much every day of the week making sure that things are going out right and the customers are taken care of. And it's been a really neat thing in the pandemic to see the community come together and everyone supporting each other. It's one of the nice things that's come out of this. It's unfortunate we had to have a pandemic to see it, but
yeah. And how is your staff dealing with the pandemic and, you know, not as many people eating out and so forth? Are they seeing, you know, a dip in tips and so forth and income?
Oh, yeah. It's been tough on my staff. You know, they're, you know, for sure their revenue's down and, you know, it's a lot more work, too. At Rory's, we're a small restaurant. You know, it used to be three steps, you're out of the kitchen, you know, and you're putting a plate on the table. Now you got to walk all the way through the kitchen, go outside, put it on a table outside. So it's a lot more work, but my staff's been awesome. They've all stepped up. They've worked really hard. They haven't said, hey, you know, like, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. You know, they've all, you know, embraced it. And all the different safety measures we do to make sure that everything's safe, they've embraced as well. And they've even come up with ideas of their own. So it's been, you know, it's brought us together more as a family too.
Yeah. I remember I was eating there recently. We had one of the musicians, well, you had hired one of the musicians that I've worked with a lot in the area, who's volunteered his time, and you paid him to come and play, Stephen Keith. And I was there, and your manager or one of the chefs, I'm not sure who it was, but he said, he came over to the table and he said, are you guys cold? Do you want me to turn on the heat lamp yet? Or the heat lamps, I should say, because you have multiple heat lamps out there on the patio. And, you know, that's an expense for you. And, you know, you've gone the extra mile to make sure that your customers are warm. So that is overlooked sometimes by people. They don't realize the cost of propane that goes into keeping those heat lamps going, right?
Right. No, the propane's expensive, and it's probably the bigger issue for me is running it back and forth to get them all filled up, because we blow through them pretty quick. So, but yeah. It's been neat. You know, we need to take care of the people. They want to come and dine, and we want to make them happy and comfortable. So, yeah, we got to have the heaters going.
So speaking of that, how long do you think you can keep, you know, the outdoor dining going? And we don't really know what's going to happen with, you know, the state of Connecticut. So what are you doing? You're still keeping it going on warmer days?
We're trying to keep it going during warmer days. We're even thinking about, we look at every weekend, hey, what's the weather going to be like? Can we get some music outside? Is it going to be warm enough to have people? You know, is it going to be sunny or not? But for the most part, I think for the winter, so long as we get a day where it's above 50, we'll be serving outside. And we have customers that want to eat outside. So yeah. You know, it's a win-win.
Absolutely. All right, let's shift gears now to your brand new establishment, which I'm really excited to talk about with you because it's been in the making for quite some time. And, you know, there was always doubt that you might not open this because of the pandemic. But again, I always like to call you one of the pioneers in the restaurant business with this pandemic, because you've really embraced the whole curbside takeout. And you're prepared for anything, which, like, you're a true warrior restaurateur. And I mean that sincerely. I mean, the food is phenomenal. Your heart is in it. You obey all the CDC guidelines. You take it seriously. You're not breaking any rules. So let's talk about the Wall Street Tavern, the rock and roll decor, you know, the city's backyard. We did the podcast. We went there and we did our live remote with musicians outside. So, and of course the theater across the street has been going to virtual shows. So how has that been going so far? You've been open for about a month now, right?
Yeah, we've been open for a month. You know, it's not what we expected, but it's a pandemic. So, you know, I think there's a real positive trend. We continue to get customers coming in. Our feedback's been great. And we continue to do a little more business each week. There's the takeout, there's people dining in. And everyone seems to love the food. So I'm really happy with it. Obviously it's a pandemic and it's hard to judge that, but, you know, we're working really hard to make sure we're putting out a great product there. And, I think we'll succeed.
Yeah. And I'd like to, you know, give kudos to your partner, John, right? John D'Agostino.
Yes. John D'Agostino. Yeah.
Very upbeat attitude about the whole thing and just making the best of the situation. And again, you have those windows that create like an open air environment where they're almost like patio doors, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're almost like big French doors. It's going to be great when the weather's warmer to really let kind of like Wall Street in and let Wall Street Tavern out and have people dine and really enjoy themselves.
I want to address the parking situation in Norwalk. A lot of people are intimidated by the fact that they have to park. But, you know, I went there about a week ago and picked up takeout. And they don't really give you a ticket if you're parked outside for about 15 minutes to go in and get your takeout. So it's really not an issue. And then, as you mentioned, there's the, what is it, the Yankee Doodle Garage right behind your restaurant, and it's only $1 to park in there. So you can actually enter the Wall Street Tavern through the rear entrance, which is right near the garage, correct?
Yes, absolutely. You can enter through the rear, or you can park on the street out front. There's a couple spots a little up from the restaurant, which are actually like spots where you can park for 15 minutes without any kind of, without paying for anything. In the grand scheme of things, you know, a lot of people were getting all bent out of shape about Norwalk and the parking. But for me, you know, don't get all worried about that. It's, you know, the parking garage is $1.
Right.
And, you know, you can either fight it or work with it and make it work for your establishment. You know, if it comes that big an issue, then give people, you know, validate their parking or something. But everyone going nuts about people having to back into the spots and this, that, and the other thing. You know, in the grand scheme of things, someone probably planned this out and put a lot more thought into it than we did. And sometimes people are so resistant to change, they don't see the benefit of it.
Yeah, well, you had informed me when we were doing the gig there with the City's Backyard podcast that, you know, it was only $1 to park in the garage. And it is just literally, you know, 100, not even 100 yards away from the rear entrance. So, yeah, not an issue if people think there is. It's really not a big deal. Now, let's talk about the pizza oven, and let's talk about the beautiful decor that you put behind the pizza oven with the wall, meaning the Wall Street Tavern, but Pink Floyd, the wall, the album, Floyd, the wall.
I had my daughter spray paint that on the wall of the restaurant.
Wow. That, well, yeah, you have the Wall Street Tavern brick mural in the front, but then you actually have white brick behind the actual pizza oven with the print of the wall from the Pink Floyd album, which is just so cool, you know, tying into the theater across the street.
Yes. Well, we came upon a bunch of like vintage rock posters, and as we kind of decorated the restaurant, it all seemed to fall together. A good friend of mine, artist Sandy Garnett, who did the mural in the front of the restaurant, is also a big rock and roll fan. So, you know, he was always piping in with little suggestions too. And so, you know, we kind of came up with a theme for the restaurant. And when we looked at that white subway tile behind the pizza oven, it just logically made sense to put, you know, the wall on it like Pink Floyd.
Now, did you guys install that pizza oven, or was it there from the previous restaurant?
No, they had done pizzas previously, but they had ripped that oven out. So we needed to put something in. So we put in a wood-burning pizza oven from Tuscan Fire, and it's a really great pizza oven. You get these wood roasted pizzas that come out. It's got this nice smoky flavor. We've got wood roasted chicken that we do out of there, and oysters. The oysters, we have this Parmesan cream reduction there to die for.
And you even do the wings that way, right?
Yeah, we do the wings in there as well. And you just get this great smoky flavor that you can't manufacture any other way than putting it in an oven that has burning wood in it.
Exactly. And I can verify that it's delicious because I've tried the pizza and the wings, and it's all just delicious. And was that a decision that you came up with because of the pandemic, and you decided that you might have to focus more on to-go orders if that was the case?
No, absolutely not. We'd actually started the restaurant before the pandemic, and so the pandemic threw us a huge curveball, which is one of the reasons we opened. Probably had I had the space become available during the pandemic, I certainly wouldn't have jumped on it, but I already had jumped on it. I was already, you know, kind of, I had one foot in the water, so I had to put both feet in and go for it. So, and that's what we did.
Yeah, let's touch on a couple things here. I know you wanted to talk about these to-go little pizza packages where you make them at home. You were thinking of something like that, like you did in the past with Rory's, where it was like do your own recipe type of thing. But before we mention that, before I forget, the word is that this homemade ice cream, Lindsay's ice cream, is available at Wall Street Tavern.
It's true. So I met Lindsay through Rory's when we were doing our kind of Chopped competition, where we were selling mystery boxes and people were making meals and shooting videos. And Lindsay was one of our winners. And so she started making her own ice cream, and I reached out to her and I asked her if there was anything I could do to help. And she said, I need a place to distribute it. And so now she's distributing her ice cream at Wall Street Tavern, usually on Saturdays. Also, to help her out, we have her making cinnamon ice cream for our apple crisps that we serve at the restaurant.
Beautiful. And are you going to do something where, you know, you make the to-go, you're talking about the to-go dough and so forth for the pizza?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're going to do like a little build-your-own pizza setup where we'll give you a couple doughs, some sauce, some cheese, and a choice of a couple different toppings. And you come pick that up, and then you take it home, and you make the pizza at home. It's a great thing to do with your kids. Mix it up, have a little different night.
And what's the idea behind that?
Well, the concept is to make people have a great meal, at the same time, be a little more involved with it, and make it different. You know, you can get takeout. People are tired of cooking sometimes, and they can get takeout. But this way, you get the takeout, but it's almost all done for you. You know, you roll out the dough, pop it on a tray, put all your toppings on, pop it in the oven, and now you're getting like this gourmet pizza that you made yourself, which is cool.
Right. Well, let's hit on your websites before I let you go. So you got Rory's.net, which has your awesome menu. Like I always said, one of my favorites is your Debbie's Chicken. And then WallStreetTAV.com?
Right, it's WallStreetTav.com. And on the Rory's website, we're about to put up our holiday food to-go list, or list menu, better said. You know, we did over 150 dinners for Thanksgiving, and we'll be doing it again this year for Christmas. So, you know, it helps the community. We have a lot of people that we actually deliver to, you know, older customers who won't go out, and so it's been a real help to them for us to do their holiday stuff and deliver it to them. So we will continue to do that.
Beautiful. Well, it sounds awesome. Really appreciate you being a sponsor of the City's Backyard podcast. You've been with us pretty much since the beginning, and you know, since the beginning of the pandemic when we started the podcast. Again, you know, you're doing a great job. Congratulations on the all-new Wall Street Tavern. Great pizza. Got that rock and roll theme going. And, you know, happy holidays to you and your staff. And thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. You have a great holidays, and we look forward to seeing everyone down at Wall Street. We got plexiglass up on the bar, so there is limited bar seating, and we're doing everything the same at Rory's. Nice and safe, and getting people good meals.
Absolutely. Brian Malcarney from Rory's and Wall Street Tavern, thanks so much. We're going to come back right after this.
In these stressful times, we all can feel anxious about our future. That's why it's important to take care of your mind and body with Mindful Serenity Healing. It's a holistic healing alternative that focuses on you as a whole. Mind, body, spirit. Release the deep chronic muscle tension. Get relief from mild depression. Relieve anxiety and get enhanced mental clarity. Transform the body's energy to heal itself and awaken your inner intuition. To learn more about energetic healing, log on to MindfulSerenityHealing.com. Avoid medication and heal naturally at MindfulSerenityHealing.com.
We are hanging out in the backyard of New York City right now in Norwalk, Connecticut, live to Memorex in the Balmar parking lot with Peach's Low Country Kitchen. And the reason why we're here is a couple of reasons. It's the food episode. And also, Peach's used to be in Norwalk, but they're now down in Lower Manhattan, right on Fulton Street. So you got to check out their website, peacheslck.com. That's peacheslck for lowcountrykitchen.com. And what we're doing is, this is the debut of Peaches Connecticut Mobile. So what's going on is Greer Peaches, the owner of Peaches in Manhattan, you know, she used to own the one in Norwalk. They are doing a service to the community of Fairfield County, mostly the Norwalk area, because that's where the drop-off of the food is, and that's where we are right now. But this is going to be a weekly thing on Fridays where you're going to have an opportunity to order ahead on their website or calling. I think they actually do want you to call in, but you can check out the menu on the website. For now, it's going to be all through the phone. But come January 2021, this is going to be a Friday thing from around 4 to 6 p.m., where you can pick up your combo meals or your bucket of chicken, whatever you've ordered will be here. And matter of fact, my wife ordered 3 combo meals. We did a fried chicken one and a brisket one and then chicken tenders for the little one. Actually, she's not so little. She's a teenager. But it's a meal. So it's like an adult meal, the chicken tenders. And just fantastic sides like coleslaw and macaroni and cheese and that awesome cornbread. I guess they call it the monkey bread. But they have funky names for all their sides. And you can see all this on their menu at Peaches Low Country Kitchen. That's peacheslck.com. But again, this is going to be a weekly thing. And we just wanted to feature Peaches on our episode because it's all about food this week. And, you know, Greer used to own the Peaches in Norwalk, which has now been, you know, moved to Manhattan. And she used to hire entertainment, musicians and DJs. So we just wanted to give back by supporting her with her new weekly mission to bring the food to Fairfield County and giving you an opportunity to order it. So you don't have to go all the way down to Manhattan. And, of course, if you're down there, by all means, stop in. I can't wait to get back down there for auditions and so forth. You know, what I was doing was going down to John Street. And I remember Peaches being built right on Fulton Street. And it's pretty exciting that they are open. But, you know, a lot of people are in their own backyard now because of the pandemic. So this is an opportunity for you to stay safe and pick up your food curbside. You just come right into the parking lot. They have their masks on. And, you know, you give them your name and then that's it. They'll give you your order and you drive away. So it's basically curbside to go in Norwalk from Peaches down in Manhattan. And you pre-order ahead of time. Take a look at the menu on the website. But again, we're just happy to get them on the food episode. Peaches Low Country Kitchen down in Manhattan now, but bringing the food, the delicious food, to New York City's backyard right here in Fairfield County. More coming up next on the City's Backyard Podcast.
Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar is now open with the best tapas in town.
Come enjoy delicious food on their outdoor patio and check out their wide selection of white and red bottles of wine to go.
Plus sangria and cerveza as well. Ask about their kids' menu when ordering to go or dining outside. Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar with four locations.
Westbrook, East Haven, Ridgefield, and Norwalk on the Post Road, 36 Westport Avenue.
Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar.com.
Check out Bistro Mediterranean Takeout to Go and now offering catering.
Who knew the sleepy suburbs would be so popular? You're listening to the City's Backyard. We are in the backyard right now, wrapping up the show live to Memorex from Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar in Norwalk, Connecticut, right on the Post Road. It's been a lot of fun, and we appreciate everybody that came out to support the restaurants on this food episode. Thanks to Taylor Matsky from Millstone Farm in Wilton. We learned a lot about all the fresh veggies that are available and all about the farmers markets in Fairfield County. Plus, Brian Malcarney from Rory's in Darien and the all-new Wall Street Tavern in Norwalk. I mean, like I said, he's a pioneer in the pandemic, opening up a restaurant during tough times. But it's been great being able to support the restaurants in the area. Just a reminder, as we go into the winter, these restaurants will survive on you ordering takeout. And, you know, we know the restaurants in Manhattan are prohibiting indoor dining, which is really tough through these winter months. So as far as Connecticut goes, you know, whether you can dine in or even outside on a warm day, which is going to be tough to come by as we go into January next month and then February. But takeout, you know, always consider doing takeout. But we do want to thank all our guests for being on the show. And we'll be back next week. Our guest next week will be Noel Ramos, who's one of the main grips on the long-running show This Old House, which has been around for 40 years. So we're going to talk to him about, you know, just the television industry and what's going on with that during the pandemic. So once again, thanks to Gabe here at Bistro. Thanks to Brian Malcarney from Rory's and Wall Street Tavern. Thanks to Taylor Matsky from the Millstone Farm in Connecticut. And we appreciate you tuning in. That's going to do it for this episode. Be safe, everybody. Thanks again.
that puts a wrap on another edition of The City's Backyard, a podcast with Matt the Z-Man Zacho. We'll be back next week with more interesting topics, great guests, and fun conversation about what's happening in and around your community. That's it for now. We'll see you soon. The opinions expressed by the guests are not necessarily those of the host of the City's Backyard podcast or its sponsors. The City's Backyard podcast tapes weekly, and the topics and information are related to the time of the taping. Thanks for listening to the City's Backyard.